This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast. Welcome to Untangle Your Emotions. We are talking through my new book that is out in the world. Praise Jesus.
You love this little move.
They can't see it on the podcast. I'm dancing good, y'all. I just feel happy because for so long I'm writing and I'm by myself and it's lonely. And now it's out there. And also the whole time, even last week, I'm thinking to myself, is this even good? Is this even helpful to people? And so to hear from you guys, the stories that are coming in and all of you reading it with us, we are just so grateful. And it makes me happy that it's helping people because that's really why I do this, is I will pay the dues of sitting alone for way too many months of my life to know that you guys understand something about God in a deeper way, or understand yourselves better, understand what it means to follow him. And so, yay, it's out there. Happy. So I am here again with my daughter, Kate Summers. Her name is different because she is married. This is kind of fun, Kate, hanging out with you. Last week, we were talking about chapters 1 and 2. This week, we're going to talk about chapters 3 and 4. If you're following along with us in the book club, please do that, guys. It's so great to be processing this together with friends, growing in this way. And it's about to get really juicy in a little bit, but not yet. Not yet. We're still in
setting it up. Ooh, jinx. That was cute.
We're setting it up. All right. So what are we going to talk about this week, Kate?
We're talking about how we all got so screwed up.
Yeah.
With our emotions, if we're honest.
Yeah. Where did all this start?
Why is it so hard for everybody? And in a different way, everyone can admit that it is hard.
Yeah, I mean, this was such a tricky topic to take because everyone approaches their emotions so vastly different. Even if you consider yourselves extra emotional, all of you would get in a room that are extra emotional and you would experience totally different things with your emotions. So this did feel tricky. But I think some universal realities and truths are this, that we come out of the womb and we grow up in a family. And that family largely defines how we're going to interpret our feelings and interpret the world. And so if you think about, I mean, this is so embarrassing with you. Lots of times I'm talking about it in generic terms, like parents sometimes do this or that.
It's kind of exposing.
Yeah, it is a little
exposing. That's right. Y'all think about hopping on a podcast with your daughter and she can say whatever she wants.
Because I definitely did not do this really well. I mean, I remember watching you. You were so emotional at times and just not knowing what to do and trying to control that in you. And I think going, like what I know now, if I could go back, I wish I could comfort you more. I wish I could empathize with you more. A story that comes to mind is when Cooper destroyed your art notebook and you were weeping. And I remember like, well, Kate, this happens. You know, I don't remember being sad with you, but I do remember Dad walking in and him being as devastated as you. And I think even crying, for sure wrapping you up and just being there in it with you. And I think that that was a moment for me as a parent where I observed what I wanted to be, but I wasn't there yet, I would say.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Like, do you?
If it helps, I don't remember you not caring.
I mean, I cared.
You cared, but you didn't connect with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do. I vividly remember Dad meeting me in that. And I remember him getting very upset with Cooper, but in like a way that was protective of me and that like what he'd done wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And then I remember him coming to me and just being so devastated with me. And it just, I think in him being in it with me, especially as my dad, and as he's not necessarily like an artist, like he didn't have to like understand it deeply.
He's really appreciates that you said he's not necessarily an artist. I can't think of one artistic thing that man does.
But he loves me.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge thing. Even when we're talking about emotions with other people, is sometimes we think that we have to like have felt the exact same emotion about the same thing. We have to find a story where we understand, where really people just want you to be with them in it, even if you don't fully understand.
Well, and that was a problem he could not fix. And I think I respect your dad so much and the emotional work he's done, because he certainly wasn't that way when I married him. He didn't have any emotions when I married him and didn't know how to empathize and would just shut off whenever I would have strong feelings. And so this was a learned skill for him. I so appreciate. We're going to have him on the show, because I know a lot of you are asking, like, okay, how could I grow in this, or how could my spouse grow in this? And he did, and it was an intentional work over years. But he really couldn't fix that problem. Like, we couldn't repair the notebook. There was no way to piece that back together. It was so destroyed. So for him, he knew, like, I just need to be with her. And I think for all of us growing up, what happens is we go into these families of origin, and I mean, let's be real, we were doing the best we could imperfectly, and all of our parents are doing the best they can imperfectly. All of you are doing the best you can imperfectly. And yet, in that imperfect part of us as parents, even unintentionally, we often demonize our kids' emotions, or we don't know what to do with them, or we don't know how to help. Or we think possibly that our own emotions are bad, and therefore watching your emotions feels wrong. And so I think that's the first place where we learn if emotions are good or bad. And largely, I think as parents, we're just trying the best to control our homes and control our kids and make sure y'all turn out to be sane humans. And so we say, like, don't break down in the Costco grocery cart, of course. And when you're throwing a temper tantrum, rather than, you know, in your little world, understanding that in your little world in that moment, it's not okay to be disrespectful, but it is okay to cry. And it is okay to be disappointed when things don't go your way. And I think that we haven't ever parsed that out sometimes. When is it disrespectful? And when is it just a kid feeling their emotions? So the parents, I would say, our families of origin is a big place we learn. And most of the time, we grow up learning that those emotions aren't a positive thing. And we need to learn to control them, stuff them, not present them to other people, because we experienced rejection as a kid growing up with those feelings. And then the second place I think we often learn that emotions are bad is watching other people. It's destructive. They're making a mess of their lives. They're feeling all kinds of feelings, and it's causing them to, you know, have affairs and leave their husband and get addicted to porn and whatever they feel they're chasing, and it wrecks their lives. And I would say, sure, that's watching someone be a slave to their emotions can make you feel very hesitant to feel your emotions, because you don't want that to happen to you. And then a third way, and of course this could be endless, is just we felt shame because of the church. And a lot of the teaching from the church that I remember growing up, and not every church is like this by any means. Certainly there's certain streams that are different. And certainly there are some churches that know exactly what to do with emotions. But largely it was just, you know, emotions are not trustworthy. And that's the message all the time. In fact, I even, writing the book, it was hard, because I was doing this work and I wasn't alone doing this work. I mean, I'm working with my seminary professor. I'm working with editors. I'm working with friends that know God, and I'm running all this by people. It's not like I'm just sitting in a vacuum by myself with all this. But, you know, I remember being on Instagram when I'm writing this book, and I'm seeing this message quite regularly about the devil wants you to listen to your emotions. God wants you to listen to his word. Sound, I mean, it gets like tens of thousands of likes. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, this is so not what I'm saying. Because I'm saying emotions are from God. I'm saying emotions are telling us something that should be processed and listened to. Yeah. And they are not bad guys creeping up on us. And they are actually gifts to steward and to listen to and to process. And so I really had to do the theological work here, because I wanted to be sure, like, am I wrong on this? Because I want to be sure theologically that the Bible says these are good things. And certainly there are times, like we'll talk about, where God says, do not fear. And it's a really clear command, it looks like. But when I even did that work and I dug into it, you see that all those moments that he's saying that, just about every one of them, his kid, his son or daughter was in some scary situation. And if I'm a father and my kid is in a scary situation, I'm going to tell you, don't be afraid. I got you. Like, that's what he was doing. He wasn't saying never fear because it's sin. But that's the way the church has often interpreted it. So we've got this whole messaging from the church of just, this is what it means to not feel. So this is the danger of feelings, right? And so we're up against a lot. And again, I think the church is reacting to the world who's made it their God. And I get it. I mean, I'm very gracious to both sides because I don't think the greatest path forward has been clearly presented very often.
And it's like anything where there's going to be opposing voices. And I think what's been lacking is that we've been aware that the enemy has a way that he wants to use our emotions to separate us from God. But I think what I don't hear a lot is the way that God wants to step into that space too with emotions and move us towards fullness of life.
Yes.
And you only hear this and we're fearful of this, which is fair. There's that's where it's so valid, where it's like, yes, the enemy would have us move away from God in our emotions. But that's why I think this is so good is because
it gives that. But I think one of the ways the enemy's been winning in that is to confuse us so much about them. And so as we keep going in this book together, what you're going to see is really clear handles because I do believe God is not a God of confusion and he wants us to know what to do when we feel sad. He wants us to know what we do when we feel angry. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking right now about the people that have been with us for now a week and a half, and there's this sense of I'm going through the most emotional thing I've ever gone through in my entire life. Like there's people that are picking this up listening right now because they just got a diagnosis and they feel completely overwhelmed. So I want to talk just a minute specifically to people that find themselves here with one of two things, tragedy, like deep, deep, deep grief. And I want to talk to the people about that find themselves here because of potentially mental illness. And so first I want to say to the person who is suffering, this book is going to help you at some point, but it may not be today. If you just found yourself here, I would just say, take it in bite sizes because sometimes there's a part of our brain that clicks on in the midst of suffering when we have to survive that makes us numb.
Yeah.
And it's not all bad. And for a season, it can even be a gift. It's a gift. It's a part of the features of our brain that God built. That when my husband was in the hospital and nurses were saying, this is very serious and he could die.
Yeah.
I have four kids at home. I have a job. I have a husband to take care of. If I were to feel those words in that moment, I would have absolutely crumbled. I felt those words months later. And I just want to say, and I say this in the book too, like whenever you need to pause in this process, just do it. That numbness can be a gift. Like turning to that numb feeling can be a gift to get you through something where you have to survive. There are seasons in life that feature kicks in and it is a gift, but do not stay there too long. Do not stay there too long because that is not a place God meant for us to stay and to live. And to people who are struggling with mental illness, I want to say this too. There's a difference in being worried, even worried constantly, and being in bondage to worry to the point that it manifests as true physical anxiety.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, that is not your fault. Now, for some of you, sin has brought you there. And confessing that sin and making that sin right, that is in your power, and you need to do that. But for many of you, this is a chemical issue. And it's something that you don't even know why this has such a stronghold on your life. And we're going to talk about that as well. I want you two both to feel seen. I want you who are suffering to feel seen. And I want you who feel like you're struggling with mental illness to know we're going to process that together and help parse that out just a little bit.
And I think going through a book like this, if you're kind of on the fence and you're just like, I don't even know, doing it with people in the light is a lot of times a really helpful way to know if this is like, oh, this is an emotion that makes sense based on these things that have happened. And this is how we walk forward in it versus a chemical imbalance. The people in your life, if you're really living in the light with them, will be able to speak into that with you.
That is the hope. I mean, we hope right now that you're listening to this with some friends. If you're not, go ahead and send this out and be like, listen, I'm just obeying these crazy girls on this podcast. We need each other. And I don't want to do this alone. I don't want to think about my emotions alone. I don't want to feel my emotions alone. You weren't built to do that. You were built to feel them in community. And if you don't have any people, I got another book for you. It's called Find Your People. And I intentionally wrote that first. Because really, like sometimes I get it. You don't feel like you have those people in your life. But that's got to shift.
Whenever I have a special occasion coming up, or even just like a date night, I love to get my nails done. Now, after using Olive and June's new press-on mani system, I don't know if I'll ever go to a salon again because their tab press-on system is so easy. They have every single size, shape, color of nail that you could think of, and they are so easy to put on, strong, and stay on as long as possible. And when you're ready to take them off, they don't destroy your nails. When you get your Olive and June tab press-on system, you get everything you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. So you can customize it with your choice of four different styles of nails, and then these little sticky tabs that I was like, no way these are gonna stay on all week with having three boys, how many dishes I wash, like how hard I am on my nails. And sure enough, they did not come off for a week. They look so real and can last so long, or you can easily switch them over without damaging your nail. The type of nails that I always choose for my tab press-on system are the extra short, rounded, like whites and soft pinks and classic colors. And then I always like to put one in there that's a little bit fun, maybe has some of those little daisies on them, or they have different ones for different seasons. So there's just so much versatility, and they are so fun and so easy to use. Visit oliveandjune.com/madeforthis for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/madeforthis for 20% off your first mani system.
Okay, I asked you to go into this in the last one a little bit, but I just feel like it's so helpful to keep digging into the anatomy of emotions that's originally rooted in theology. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was my favorite part of the work. I can't tell you how interesting it is, because you think of scientists and you think of them and picture them studying emotions. And It was challenging because all of them really have they land in different places. The information on emotions, where does it live in your body? What is the impact of emotions on your body? All of these things, how it ties into the science. There was this one book called How Emotions Are Made, and it just was so fun. I mean, now it is a geeky science book. Do not read it if you hate so geeky science stuff, but I loved it. And she's an atheist, but she describes the way we feel an emotion. Where do they come from? And she's just looking at the facts, like what we see from neurology. What do you know about the way the brain works? And it was so fascinating, her ideas and her process, and to think that emotions are coming from somewhere all over the world. So when you think about somebody that experiences grief in India over the death of a loved one, just where they lived, where they were born, a lot of the way they experience emotion is because of the culture that they were raised in, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's also the reality that we are born with all of these things, and they also are part of the way that we are going to feel no matter what. There's something universal about them too. So there's something unique in that even in different parts of the world, those emotions are expressed fairly differently. They did research on, you know, showing a smiley face, and across the world, doesn't that mean joy? And of course, in some cultures, sadness looked different than anger, and it was harder to parse apart. And so it's a really hard thing to study because everybody's context matters so much of what it looks like in our world to feel these things. And so why I thought that was so interesting was, as a Christian believing God about this and going, okay, he built our bodies and our minds and our emotions, and he made us to be emotional. And then he sets us in our places, in our families, as we talked about earlier. That same barrier also probably was a great blessing. Like there were things you learned about emotions in a great way by being raised in that little family, that whatever your family looked like growing up. And so I think it's just beautiful that we are all a composite of all these things. We're a composite of the country we were raised in, the city we were raised in, the parents we were raised with, but then we're also a composite of our genetics and how we were wired and what we were wired with. And so there's so much. And I think that is a helpful thing. When you think of the opening image in the book, which is a stick figure with a bunch of little knots around it, right? That was the image I had when I titled the book, was that's how I feel. And I think that's how everybody feels. Just knotted up and like, what do I do with all this? When you picture that, there's a good reason. We're all knotted up because there's so many factors and there's so many things that are making our emotions the way that they are. And so again, as I said last week, I just hope you will continue to approach this with so much grace for yourself that, and really curiosity about mm-hmm. asking yourself regularly, like, where did I learn that? Where did I pick that up? Why am I so opposed to feeling sadness? Mm-hmm. Why don't I want to feel it? Why does that feel scary to me? And so if you can start to look back and piece that out, yeah. I think that's part of the untangling that we're going to do here is to look at that rope and go, okay, how did that get that way? And what are we going to do? In chapter two, you read about knot theory, which my friend Chloe found that piece of research and I just thought it was absolute gold because when she sent it to me, I was like, this is, of course, there's a bunch of people in offices somewhere figuring out how to, like, some theory on knots and how many times it has to be untied mm-hmm. and all these things. And of course, somebody's figured out how to do that because, of course, that it made something like that into a science. And when I got that piece of research, I thought, oh my gosh, this is what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. We're holding it up to the light. We're holding it up to God. We're holding it up to His word. And we're seeing all the ways that we've gotten tangled up. Where's mm-hmm. this come from? And so much of this work is just looking back and going, okay, I see that. And you're doing that right now. You're literally in the middle of that right now with counseling,
yeah.
which is so crazy to me. We always said we would be saving for our kids counseling and it's come due. And yeah. I love that you're doing that and that you wanted to do that. You came to us and said, I really want to do this. What are you learning as you're processing some of these emotions and that knot that we all have?
Something I have been finding with counseling. He'll always ask me whenever I come back in, like, how'd that sit with you? Like last week, like our last session or whatever it is. And recently I've just felt so almost cringing at myself because I feel so vulnerable all the time because I'm digging into all of this stuff, which some of y'all might feel this. Like there's something about like actually getting to the heart of it where emotions, because they're uncontrollable, will make us feel weak. Like it will inherently make us feel weak that we cannot control them. Mm. And I was so uncomfortable with that. Cause when I got, and I would say, like you were saying, like I'm a pretty emotional person and I have a pretty high EQ and would say that I felt pretty self-aware. And yet there were still so many things because I could meet everybody else and they're deep and they're like emotional, but there were so many things that I wasn't letting people touch and I wasn't going there because it felt weak and it felt uncontrollable. Recently, just like week in, week out, it has been such a uncomfortable thing. Mm. And yet at the same time, some of the stuff that we started with feels a lot different now. And I don't feel that way. And I get to walk with people in that. And I feel closer to my community group that some of that I didn't even know how to articulate or share or hadn't been there with people. And I can come to them and share in that with them and tell them, like, I don't know how to talk about this. Like a lot of, if it's really real, you probably won't have super like well-articulated words for how you're feeling, especially at first. I think a good way to end, just because you talk so much about us and God and how you're going to be walking us through this, but ultimately any lasting change and things that we deeply learn in our heart and in our soul comes from God. My question would be, what would you kind of give as almost like a prompt as somebody starting this journey with God also mm-hmm. of being really honest and entertaining the thought that maybe emotions aren't a bad thing
yeah,
and restoring this relationship between how emotions are actually supposed to draw us to God?
Yeah.
What is a kind of a prompt that you would give somebody to go sit with God in?
Yeah. I would say this week, I think it's important you sit with your past and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to see about the way I was raised? About why I am resistant to what you want for me with emotions? Why am I resistant to emotions being a good thing in my life? Where did I pick this up? Because I think He'll show you gently places where you learned it. And I love you, Kate, because you're in counseling and you're learning things that we did right and things we did wrong. And you're coming home and telling us and processing it with us. And I think this doesn't have to destroy our relationships with our families. Mm. All the parents in the world, largely, there are certainly exceptions, are trying their best. And so we can have grace for our parents while we also go, you know what? That part of their parenting didn't serve me well. A lot of the parts served mm-hmm. me well, but that part didn't serve me well. And I think seeing that and being honest about that is a helpful mm-hmm. exercise and can bring even deeper healing.
in my life and then in a lot of the people that I walk with's lives, if you want to call it like they're your teacher of something that has at some core stage in your life taught you something about the way that the world works and the way that you work and how God is or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Ideally, obviously, that comes from the family unit and that's how God's created it. But I also know for some people, that teacher of whatever that might be might have come from somewhere outside of a family unit. So maybe some of your core things weren't rooted in a family, but in a relationship that you had early on or some suffering or trial that you went through. And so, yes, family dynamics, because it forms so much of how you view the world, but yeah. also stepping back into whatever that thing is.
And a helpful way to do that can be to think of an emotion that you felt recently mm-hmm. and to go back and imagine the very first time that yeah. you felt that
yes,
way.
Yes, that's good.
So if you just recently felt angry, I want you to remember that, like go back to that moment, how mad you felt, and think to yourself, when is the first time I remember feeling angry? And what's great about emotion is it seals our memories. Mm-hmm. Most of the memories that anyone has of their life is tied to an emotion. Something about the body's response when an emotion is released, that causes you to remember it in a deeper way. And so a lot of us do actually remember things from very, very young ages, as I've talked yeah. to people that happened to them. It's wild, the memory and the way yeah. we can recall things that are tied to emotions. I want you to text your questions or thoughts to our phone number. It's 214-225-6267. And we'll be reading them, going through them, and answering some of them on the podcast as we go. The number is 214-225-6267. We want you to engage. This is so vulnerable to stick this out into the whole wide world. And so as you read it, yeah, be sure and let us know how it's impacting you.